My guest today on Piano Jazz is the multi-talented Roger Kellaway, a musical genius if there ever was one, a scintillating pianist, composer, and arranger. He was there for Bobby Darin, and now he's here with us. How are you?
I feel great, Marion.
The one thing I can't get out of my mind is the fact that you played bass fiddle with my husband, Jimmy McPartland,
yeah.
And that you were about 19.
Yeah.
I
was 19.
I
played 6 months with him, and my dad drove me from Boston to New York to 52nd Street with the bass in the car.
Oh, my
goodness. And, you know, as a matter of, I don't know if that was my bass or the high school bass. It was probably mine. I had a very funny bass. I paid $150 for it. It was three-quarter size, and no one would sit in because the strings were so high.
But you managed to play it.
I liked it, yeah. I loved the bass. That's my second instrument. A lot of people think it's my first instrument because they get confused.
Well, I was pretty sure that piano was your first instrument.
Yeah.
With
my cello music, the cello quartet and all that, some people think I play cello, and I never played cello. But
you write for it.
Yeah, I love it. And I love writing for the bass. I haven't played it in probably 25 years, but it's quite an instrument.
How?
I love it. I am a fan of the low end of the orchestra. and lately, I have been completely knocked out listening to the early Prokofiev symphonies and how he uses contrabassoon. Those contrabassoonists have got to be the happiest people in the world. It's just fabulously exposed, and you hear all these things. You know, it's just wonderful.
It must be great to play and hear yourself play those sonorous
yeah, really. Notes. Most of the time, they're not heard.
So now they
Unless
are.
You're playing Mother Goose Suite.
You know what? It would be really nice to hear you play piano. Would you favor us with a solo?
I would love to play a solo.
What's this tune going to be?
This is going to be My One and Only Love.
Oh, that's one of my all-time favorite tunes.
Okay.
So, dying to hear it. Trying to think at what point you met up with Jackie Leonard. That was quite a period in your life, wasn't it?
Jackie Leonard was, I went to Los Angeles in 65 with Jack. I was his musical director for a year. And one of the great things about working with Jackie Leonard, and there's another person that I mentioned in the same conversation, who is Caterina Valente. Both from vaudeville, there's just simply nothing like working with a person that grew up in those vaudevillian times, and their sense of professionalism and the show must go on and that kind of thing. It's a really unpretentious kind of creativity, and that's the way Jack was. And he always introduced me as the guy whose charts nobody could play. Because I used to write dance numbers for him, believe it or not, because he was a hoofer.
How long were you with him then?
I was with him for a year, and then I left him, and then next came Bobby Darin.
Boy, that was quite a fantastic fair, wasn't it?
Quite. Yeah. I really learned my stage timing from Jack and Bobby. It was a great education. Bobby I was with 3 years.
How was he to work with?
He was so professional. He was demanding, but he was demanding in the way that he showed you really how much he knew about himself and what was right for him musically. So the first year, pretty much, I took dictation. He told me the tunes that he wanted to do, and we found the keys, and then he would have specific things that he'd like to suggest that would happen in the arrangement. And then at the end of 1 year, he called me to his suite. We were playing at the Flamingo in Vegas, and he presented me with the music to Dr. Doolittle. And he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to record in 3 weeks. Let's find the keys, and this is your band. He would pick the instrumentation.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was challenging, but I liked the instrumentation was fine. Now, mind you, this is 1967, so we're now talking about a 35-piece orchestra, something you can barely afford for an entire record now, on three tracks, because the fourth track is for the vocal, and there's no overdubbing, because if you try to overdub, you wipe out the track you already have.
What were some of the tunes?
When I Look in Your Eyes, Talk to the Animals, Beautiful Places was the only tune from Dr. Doolittle that Kevin Spacey used in the Beyond the Sea film. And he used an arrangement of mine on Once Upon a Time that I did for Bobby. But the Dr. Doolittle album is very significant for me. There's a tune on there called After Today, and when I play After Today, I am instantly back on stage with Darren.
Do you want to play that now?
No.
Do you want to play Beyond the Sea?
Absolutely not. You know, that's when that tune drives me crazy, because it's like 12, 12, 12, and 12 instead of 8, 8, 8, and 8.
Well, we could do I Found a New Baby. We could. Do it in 5 if you want.
Okay.
Don't you dare. Well, let's have at it.
Okay. It occurred to me that we were talking about Bobby Darin. I did a lot of standards with Darin, and I know he recorded a lot of standards. I do not know if he recorded that song or not, but it's quite possible he did.
I don't know. I sort of thought that he probably did. It seemed to me it was in the collection of likely songs that he would do.
Yeah.
So I would.
And I hope it was a Billy May chart.
Oh, really? You love Billy May Charles?
Oh, God. I was really... Sort of Dixie, that album, is an absolute classic. I mean, it's as much of a classic as Miles Ahead to me. Yeah, he was my guy, one of them, but a main...
I'm trying to think of something, a Rampart Street Parade.
Sure.
Something called the Rampart Street Paraders.
Well, Rampart Street Paraders was the West Coast version of Eddie Condon's. Great players like Matty Matlock, one of the greatest clarinetists, and Eddie Miller.
I love Eddie Miller.
Yeah, great tenor sax player, just fabulous players. And George Van Epps, one of the greatest guitar players ever. I think he invented the seven string.
I think you're
guitar,
right.
Yeah. And just wonderful players. So listening to this kind of music when I was very young gave me the inspiration for writing the song that I did, the closing theme for All in the Family, which basically was given to me by Dave Grusin.
The closing song.
Yeah, the closing
yes,
theme
okay.
was written by me. And Dave Grusin was working on a film for Bud Yorkin, and he didn't have the time, so he gave that shot to me, and I wrote it.
Are you going to play it?
I'd love to.
Well, please.
All right.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Fazioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.